Tara Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 5, text 50, The Activities of Sakshi Gopal, for those who are. Page 477, if you're using this book. Tumi more kanya dite karya cha angikara ebe kichu nahi kaha kitomara vichara. You have promised to give your daughter in charity to me. Now you do not say anything. What is your conclusion? Etashuni sevi prarahe mona dari tanra putra mari teaila hati tenga kari. After the young Brahmana submitted this statement, the elderly Brahmana remained silent. Taking this opportunity, his son immediately came out with a stick to strike the younger man. Are Adama Mora Bagne Chaha Viva Hite Vamanaha Na Chanda Yena Chahata Darite. The son said, "Oh, you are most degraded, Adama. You want to marry my sister? Just like a dwarf, Vamana, who wants to catch the moon." Tena dike se viprafala nagela aradine grammera loka ekatra karila. Seeing the stick in the hand of the son, the younger Brahmana fled. The next day, however, he gathered together all the people of the village. Om agyana timiranda se agyana agyana shalaka ya chakshamni tam yena tasmai se guru veyana maha shichintane manobistam savitamina bhutale swayanupam kadamayam dadati swapadantikam. Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina, Bandhu, Jagatpati, Gopisha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namustate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radha, Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu, Sutta, Devi, Panamami, Hari, Priye, Vanchaka, Patarubhyas, Chakripa, Sindhu, Beya, Vacha, Pati, Tanam, Pavani, Bhyo, Vashave, Bhyo, Namo, Namaha, Mukham, Karoti, Vachanam, Pangalanga, Te, Grimyar, Kipatam, Madhisi, Guru, Dina, Tharina, Paramananda, Madhava. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dobrodosli. Kakosi. Uredo. No one is answering. I'm asking, how are you guys? Uredo. Dobro. Okay. You're all welcome to this Sunday's Chaitanya Charitamrita discussion. And as usual, we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. Unfortunately, today I don't know what the verse is, so we chose a random verse, which is a very nice story. The story of Sakshi Gopal. But before I start, I would like to beg your blessings to be able to say something that is beneficial to everybody, most especially myself, and that we can draw some lessons. Now, most of you already know the story of Sakshi Gopal. For those of you who do not know, maybe only a handful, maybe the new devotees probably. The story of Sakshi Gopal in brief is there was once an old Brahmana and a young Brahmana, say Bhavananda, for example, and say Mandragosh. They decided to go for a pilgrimage. No, actually, they went separate ways. They both went on pilgrimage. Say they go to India, for example, they just go. And then they meet on the site of pilgrimage. Now, the younger Brahmana, say Mandragosh, for example, sees the older Brahmana, Bhavananda Prabhu, for example. And he sees him struggling, you know, alone, nobody to help him. And he says, okay, you know, let me help you. You're carrying your things alone, you're cooking alone, and it's not easy. So the older Brahmana said, okay, thank you. And the younger Brahmana served him so well, like so well, that at the end of the pilgrimage, the older Brahmana was so pleased and he said, you know what? I don't know how to thank you. But I want to give you something from the bottom of my heart. I'll give you my daughter in marriage. Now, the young Brahmana is thinking, I don't have money. I'm a poor guy. and you look like a wealthy elderly Brahmana, I don't know how this is going to work. But the old Brahmana insisted. He said, no, I want to give you my daughter. And somehow or the other, the younger Brahmana said, okay, if you really want to do this, fine. He said, but you know, I'm afraid that you might not be able to fulfill this because our family status is wide. I'm from a background, I have nothing, and you are well-to-do. I'm afraid if you get home, your family members might not buy the idea. So I want you to promise me that you actually fulfill this statement. The old Brahmana says, okay, no problem. So they went to the... And to do this, they said, okay, let's go to the Sakshi Gopal Deity and let's say this. Now, at this point, it's very important for us to know that the things you say in front of the deities are very important. That's why when you take initiation, you do it in front of the deities, in front of Guru, and in front of Vaishnavas, and Krishna in the form of the sacrificial fire. So anything you say in front of the deities is very important. That's why in Nectar of Devotion, if I'm not mistaken, one of the offenses is that you don't take false vows in front of the deities. Then just stand in front of the deities, I vow to do this, blah, blah, blah. What if you cannot keep it? You understand? So if you take a vow in front of the deity, whether initiation, whether whatever, you have to keep it. So the younger Brahmana, they both knew this. The young Brahmana knows, the old Brahmana knows. You know, it's like, okay, let's go. You say it in front of the deities so that at least. And this is another interesting thing because now the deity in court, the deity or let's say the Achavigraha in court does not talk, does not speak, does not hear in court. Now, we all know Krishna is not different from the Achavigraha. But because the younger Brahmana had so much faith that Krishna is there. Because if it's now, people will definitely say, you know what, you promised me your daughter, let's get a lawyer. You know, sign that thing on the paper, let's both sign. You know, maybe go to the police station, get a stamp on it or something. You know, but the younger Brahmana had so much faith that, no, Krishna is here. I don't need any lawyer or stamp or whatever. You say in front of Krishna, that's enough. If you don't keep it, we'll see. So that shows how much faith also the younger Brahmana had in the deity. That Krishna is present there. Sorry. And Krishna is not different from his form. He's not different from his name. He's not different from his pastimes. He's not different from you. Not his guna, his rupa, his lila. It's all the same. One and the same. So they both left. They went back their separate ways. So after some time, this is where we read, the younger Brahmana came to the older Brahmana. Now, when the older Brahmana went back home, he narrated the story. Oh, I found this young Brahmana who helped me during pilgrimage. He was so nice, and I promised him my daughter in marriage. Now, imagine the frustration or the anger of the family members. Oh, how can you promise a stranger our daughter in marriage? We don't even know this guy. He might as well just be a thief. We don't know where he's from. This guy is definitely some poor guy who is trying to take advantage of you and blah, 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 blah. You know, just going on, you know. So now the older Brahmana was confused. What to do? Do I follow my family members? Which seems to be logical. I don't really know this guy. He was nice. You know, but on the other hand, I'm a Brahmana. I promised him. That's one of the qualities of Brahmanas also. Samadhamatapaswacham, that's 1842. Someone pass me the Gita, please. 1842, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. 1842. Sama Dharma Tapa Shotam Shanti Ajamam Evacha Gyanam Viginam Asikam Brahma Kama Sabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, honesty. Brahmanas are honest. If they say something, you can double check 10 years later, it will be the same thing. So this older Brahmana knew this, no? I'm supposed to be a Brahmana. I'm supposed to be honest. And now my family members are making me back away from this. What to do? Knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. And also the younger Brahmana knew this, that's why I say, you know, I know you're honest, but, you know, let us still commit to Krishna just in case. And that's the idea also, because sometimes we have very good intentions. We take initiation. And somehow or the other, like it's always said, somehow or the other, due to the contact with material nature, due to our senses, due to our body, due to our conditioning, due to our previous samskaras, we find it difficult to keep up with our promise. But then you remember, I promised Guru, I said it in front of Krishna, and in front of devotees. So even if I want to disappoint myself, even if I want to disappoint Guru, how about Krishna? Now, that is not to say we should disappoint Guru. But at the end of the day, there are so many people involved in this deal, in this contract. So even if you want to disappoint yourself, you want to disappoint Guru, how about Krishna? You want to disappoint Krishna also? So there's always these parameters to keep us in check and balance. Now, the family members say, okay, you know what, don't worry, let him come. So one day, the younger Brahmana comes and he says, oh, you know, you actually promised me your daughter some time ago on pilgrimage. And I've come to ask you, what is going on with this plan? Is it still going to hold, you know? I need to know when it's going to happen so I can make arrangements. You know? And then the old Brahmana starts saying, I think my memories. did I say something like that? And then the son comes out, and the son is saying, oh, you degraded fellow. How can you think of marrying my sister? You're just like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. It says, Vamana Hana Chanda Hena Chaha. It says, Chanda or Chandra, you said the moon, Vamana is a dwarf. So, I mean, normally we know how dwarfs are. They're not very tall people. And they cannot even reach the ceiling. How much more the moon? So it's an allegorical statement which is saying that you are trying to reach something that is way beyond your means. You thinking of marrying my sister is way out of your league, way out of your means. You know, it's, and then he continues to rain insult on him, and then he chases him away. Now, the young Brahmana is not, I mean, he's upset that, okay, he won't be marrying this beautiful girl, this girl or whatever, but he's more upset that the older Brahmana has broken one of his qualities, which is ajavam, to be honest. So he's more concerned about the older Brahmana's position, not even about the marriage. So, in the same way, when we have spiritual vows that we back down from, you going against the vow is just one part of it. That you were once a devotee and sometime you start eating meat and fish. That is one part of the whole picture. That is one part. The bigger part is that you have a promise to Guru and Krishna that you are not keeping. Eating the meat and fish is not really the problem. Now, someone might say, are you just saying that meat and fish eating is not a problem? That is not the problem. The problem is you've made a promise to Guru and Krishna, you're not keeping it. That is the main problem. Now, in as much as we know we cannot copy, there are so many pure devotees who have, I mean, Garuda is Krishna's personal carrier. What is his food? And snake. That's his nature. But does that stop him from being a pure devotee of Krishna? Now, that is not to mean we should imitate that. But what I'm trying to point out is that the main point or the main issue about going against your vow is not the breaking of the vow. It's the promise you made. You promise. It's just like any contract also. So when husband and wife divorce each other, it's not that he left or she left as the problem. Most time you hear the woman say, you promised you're going to take care of me. You promised you'll be there. You promised you'll take care of our kids. They keep stressing that. You promised this. You promised this. They're not really angry that you've left with someone else. They're angry because you promised to do something and you're not doing it. So in the same way, the principle that you're going against is a problem, no doubt. But the main problem is that you've made a promise to Guru and Krishna and you're not doing that. So in the same way, the younger Brahmana is thinking, you know, okay, I lose a beautiful wife. That's painful. But more painful than that is that this Brahmana has made a promise in front of Krishna. And now his family members are affecting him. In the same way also, people can go against their vows, not because they really want to, but because their condition. I said, the material nature, body, time, place, circumstances, previous samskaras, etc. These things can condition one to go against one's vows, sometimes unwillingly. So, he goes back to the deity and says, you know, I have come back because this elder Brahmana, you were here, we made a, this Brahmana promised me his daughter, but now he's refusing, so what to do? Now, Krishna, the author, is looking at this young Brahmana and say, okay, I have heard your story, but what do you want me to do? Yes, I heard you guys made vow in front of me, but what can I do? He said, I want you to come and be a witness. He said, have you seen or heard anywhere of a deity that works? How is that physically possible? Now, Krishna is speaking like this. And the Brahmana says, well, it's not physically possible, but if you can talk, you can definitely walk too. Krishna says, okay. Now, at this point, before we continue, it's very interesting that sometimes we fail to actually realize that Krishna is in the Acharya Vigraha. Sometimes, just sometimes, we forget. Just sometimes. And personally, for me, this is my opinion, and I'm not trying to say it's the rule, but this is one reason why I am more attracted to Shalagram worship, because Shalagram, we all know, is self-manifested form of Krishna. It's non-different from Krishna. But usually there's this test you do with Shalagrams that if you touch them somehow, they move on their own. And once I did it and I put it online, and I took it off because I didn't want people to get disturbed. And it's interesting, you touch the Shila and the Shila moves by itself. And I'm like, wow. Because I had a friend who told me about it, and then I tried it, and it worked. Now, it's not like I was not expecting it to work, but it just went on to actually help me actually see that, you know, Krishna is here. Now, sometimes we don't have this kind of direct experience with, and this thing I'm telling you is not like it's just me. If you ask Baladev Vidyabhushan, he's also into Shilas, he will tell you, there's a way you touch the Shila will move on its own. Nobody's pushing it. And sometimes we don't have this, sometimes we don't have these experiences with Acharya Vigraha. But there are so many stories of Acharya Vigraha doing wonderful, wonderful, amazing things. And to the degree to which the deities will reveal themselves to us is dependent on the degree to which we actually want them to. If we keep treating the deities as just figures, statues, marbles, wood, or what, they'll reciprocate in the same way. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 4:11, if I'm not mistaken. So, if we treat the deity or the Acharya Vigraha as stone, marble, wood, they will reciprocate in the same exact way. But if we treat the deity as a person, then they will reciprocate in the same way. Same way. So this young Brahmana knew that Krishna on the altar is not different from Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And when he came and he spoke and Krishna replied, he said, hey, if you can talk, you can walk. Let's go. So Krishna says, yeah, okay. One condition also. And that's always Krishna. There's always one condition or the other. Because he doesn't give himself totally to you. You have to earn every single step. You know, There's nothing like, okay, I have Krishna today, I have him for the rest of my life. You have him today, he's gone tomorrow. You have him tomorrow, he's gone the next day. If you have to earn him and keep him, you have to constantly prove that, you know. So Krishna's okay, yeah, I'll follow you. Now you've made me talk and walk, no problem, but I will walk behind you. You walk in front. And you will hear me walking by the sound of my ankle bell. The moment you look back, for any reason, I will stop at that exact spot. I won't move again. Brahmana says, okay, it's all good, it's fine. So they start going, and Krishna is walking behind me, he's hearing, chirum, 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 chirum. Now, just before they get into the village where the older Brahmana is, he stops hearing the ankle bell. So he's thinking, is Krishna still following me? Or he has stopped long time ago? You know, he starts having these thoughts, to look back or not to look back. Because there was an agreement also. Krishna said, if you look back, I stop. I won't move an inch. That's it. Finish. So he's thinking about, you know, what to do, what to do, what to do. Now, at this point, he says, well, the village is not too far, maybe some few meters from here, few hundred meters. I can look back now. If he stops, fine, you know. Then he looks back, Krishna says, aha! Finish. I told you, listen to the sound of my ankle bird, now you look back. So, I'm not moving again. Say, okay, fine, no problem, stay. But you stay put here, you don't leave. You stay here, you wait, I'm coming back. I'll just go call them, just wait. Now, this is interesting also because sometimes we see things in the scriptures that are actually like promises that Krishna has made. And for some reason or the other in our lives, these promises don't seem to manifest. And we are wondering, but Krishna, you promised like this. Why is it not happening yet? And it looks like, you know, you don't really seem to keep your promise. Jai Shishi Goni Tai Ki. Shishi Panji Tai Tu Ki. But the interesting part is, if we have that faith that, you know, Krishna has said like this, he will definitely do it. And I think it's Bhagavad Gita 9:23. It's a verse that I like a lot. No, 23 is Anya Devata. No. It's 22, one verse before. Sorry. Anayas Chintayanto Mam Ye Janapari Pasate Te Sam Nita Byuta Mam Yoga Shema Vayamiyaham. I love this verse. It says, but to those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, note the word, exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Now this is a verse that I have put to practice in my life so many times. And there's so many examples. There's a story of Madhavendra Puri. He was hungry, no food. Krishna personally stole food for him. And so many other stories. Now this is a verse that Krishna is saying here, that if you worship me with exclusive devotion and you meditate upon me, I will bring to you what you need and I will preserve what you have. I've seen this work so many times. But there are times when you'll be like, Krishna, why is this happening? Why am I going through all of this? You promised me. Why are you not fulfilling it? You did promise me. But then, are we worshiping Krishna with exclusive devotion? Because you see, that's the thing. He does the contract very right. He says, if you worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating upon my transcendental form. So you have to do something, and I will do something. So if Krishna is not fulfilling his own part, ask yourself, am I fulfilling my part? So in this deal also, Krishna says, don't look back. I'll follow you. Listen to the ankle bell. You look back, I stop. And to the point where he listened, Krishna followed. The moment he turned back, Krishna stopped. So personally, I find this very interesting because, and really, if you really, really, really just surrender, and that's a very big one. It's easier said than done, but at some point, you have that experience that, you know, there's nothing I can do now. And you just literally let go and let Krishna. Things begin to work in ways you will never, ever, ever imagine. Ever. There was a personal experience I'd like to share briefly. It was up in North India. We went for a preaching program. Nice place, nice environment. We had a free building there, which a disciple of my Guru Maharaj gave. But there was no temple in that state in India. We had a program which almost 300 people attended. And I said, after 3 days, we were going to leave. And I said, so what happens to all those people? They said, we'll come back sometime later. I said, but why don't we start a temple here? There's a building. It's locked up the whole year. I said, there's nobody to do it. So okay. I said, I'll do it. I need 2 people. So they gave me 2 young devotees. It was hell. And I say hell, it was hell. That place is so cold that a devotee from the US, a proper devotee from the US came. He saw me there. He said, what are you doing here? I said, we're starting this new center. He said, I'm leaving tomorrow. I said, what? He said, yeah, this weather is crazy. You don't see the sun. The sun comes at barely 1 hour a day. And it's raining. It has the highest rainfall in India. It's raining almost 24 hours. It's cold, rainy, wet. Oh God, you cannot imagine. And because it's high up in the mountains, the pressure affects your system. Your blood system is affected. Your digestion. For at least 1 month, my body was just in chaos. And we just started a new center. We invited people to come for Bhagavad Gita classes every day. And I was supposed to give classes every evening with that kind of body. My whole tongue had blisters, sore everywhere. I could hardly talk. You know, when I talk, I'm like, And these new devotees they gave to me, they could hardly give Bhagavad Gita lectures. So I was like, now kill me. Let me just die now. He's like, oh man. But somehow or the other, throughout the day, I cannot talk. But once it's 7:30, the tongue will just miraculously get well. And once I sit down, Jaira Damadava, it's well. I will speak for 1 hour, 2 hours plus. Immediately we say, Dantara Shima Bhagavatanki, poof, the tongue will go back to the way it was. Oh man. So I figured out, I said, okay, so the way this tongue function is, I have to keep preaching. No problem. So I say, you know what? We increase it. Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita class. At least I get to use it. Bhagavatam class the next morning, it will function. After Bhagavatam class, time for prashad, I can't put food in my mouth. And this went on and on and on and on and on. But in my head, I kept saying this verse. I said, you know, Krishna, you promise. You cannot just leave me like this. This is terrible. I have 2 people who are barely, I mean, they're doing what they can, but they cannot really help that much. What am I supposed to do? I volunteered to do this. Now what? I go back and say we cannot do it. And people are coming every day. Not less than 70 people were coming every evening for Bhagavad Gita class. Once they show up, I start shaking. What to do? My tongue is still not functioning. I sit down. Jayara, the mouth. It starts working. Immediately I finish again. Gone off. So that went on and on and on, but somehow, because I was pushing, just pushing, pushing, somehow. Krishna also was helping, somehow. And by the time we had Govardhan Puj, which was almost, say, few months after, we had about 500 people in attendance. It was crazy. So I saw that, you know, Krishna was reciprocating in his own way, even though stretching you, but he was reciprocating. So I said, no, this verse works. So in the same way, this devotee, this young brahmana, he knew. So he went into the village, back to our story, said, hey, Krishna is outside the village. He wants to see you guys. Now, the first thing, imagine some devotee comes here and says, Radha Shyam from Vrindavan is in Tivoli. The first thing everyone will say is, you are either crazy or you are high on weed. One of the two. Which one is it? You know, Radha Shyam from Vrindavan is in Tivoli, you must be high. Definitely. The Brahmana said, no, I'm perfectly fine. Sakshi Gopal is outside. So they say, you know what, let's go see. If he's not, just know you're dead. So they go, and lo and behold, Gopal is there. Long story short, the old Brahmana says, I'm sorry, blah, 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 okay. And there was a big wedding. He gives his daughter finally. But in the same way, and also sometimes some drastic things have to happen in our spiritual life for us to shake off and come back to life. Now, maybe not as drastic as Panchatattva were coming out of the altar, you know. And believe you me, this might sound like a joke, but it's true. If Panchatattva stepped down from that altar, Dada Chandrika will run out from that altar. Definitely, she will fly out. You'll be like, what? No! But it's something that's a joke though. It's something we all pray for, but trust me, believe you me, if Panchatattva step out, just step down one step, most of us will be out of that door in 2 minutes. True of us. Some will just faint. Oh. Because even though we want to see Krishna move and walk, some of us are not mentally prepared for that to happen. Imagine you are there ringing the bell, Namaham Vishupadaya, trying to offer, and then yesterday was Nityananda appearance day. Nityananda bends down and says, hey, let me taste this puri. Pujari will pass out. Oh. You know, that's the thing. Many people say, oh, we want to see God. We want to hear God. But if God should actually manifest, would you be able to support it? That is the question. And why is it like that most times? Because first is that experience is usually too much for our material body to contain. First of all. Second is that we do not have the requisite spiritual body to accept. Even Arjun, Krishna says, now I give you the highest to behold. Even Arjun, who was side by side with Krishna, still Krishna had to say, now I give you the highest to behold. Now see. So which means that eyes to behold, that energy, that ability to receive that experience we all want, we have to develop it, pray for it, cultivate it. Now the good question is this. How could the younger Brahmana hear Krishna talk? That is one good question that maybe I should have waited for question time and see if anyone will ask. You know, how come he could hear, because it was still Achavigra, as at that time Gopal was not moving. How come he could hear Krishna talk? It means that younger Brahmana was at a point in his devotional life where he was mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally able to actually reciprocate with the Achavigraha. He could actually hear Krishna talk. So for him, it was no problem to say, you know, if you can talk, you can walk. But most of us can't even hear Krishna talk. If Krishna talks, oh, poor man. You'd be like, man, maybe something is happening somewhere. You might check, are you sure someone is not behind the deity trying to scare me or something? You understand? So this is something we all wish for, we all desire. But I ask that question, I say, you know, if Advaita Prabhu should just step one step down from that, this temple room will be empty. And many people will be just too shocked, like, hey, this is not happening. You know? So let's pray for the mercy to be able to, seems like a very short, simple story, but you can draw a lot from it. Not just keeping promises, not just keeping vows, but there's a lot, especially in relation to the Achavigraha. So it's technically time for me to stop. A few minutes more. I'd like to stop here. If there's any question, comment, contribution, correction. All right, well.
I'm wondering, some devotees, I'm just joking what they say, with what one of the leaders and his people is having, I don't know, can I ask you?
I don't know what the situation is. Yeah, I mean, if you read Nectar of Devotion, there are certain things you should not do in front of the deities. And also fooling around, playing around, you don't do that in front of the deities. So it's all there. I mean, it's simple. If you will not, for example, if where the deity is now, let's imagine there are no deities there, but there we have the president of Slovenia sitting down there. Will you stand in front of him and start playing around? Maybe that is too far, you know? If your guru is there, will you play in front of him? Huh? You know, but sometimes, because we don't believe Krishna is there, you know? Oh, it's just marble, brass, picture. So, you know, whatever. But if we actually believe, yeah.
I saw so many times that sometimes in devotional life we're doing something like in Hari.
Yeah.
Like in Vrindavan, I spent so long time there, and it's such a place, you know, and you are gay with the devotee. But really, I had so many experiences also in my life sometimes. And we're just looking around the devotee, we're doing properly everything, you know, everything. You're doing properly, but somehow after some time you're just in harmony. But in some situation, real situation, well, so when we're checking ourselves, you're not so high. What do you think about that? What is problem there? How to keep our what is your suggestion for this kind of love? Because you saw mankind this kind of thing. Yeah, we do everything properly, everything is nice, but somehow it's not about that to be mechanical, just how to be real in a situation, like how to be, how to keep this inside, really like to be.
Yeah, I understand your question. I get your point. Yeah, no problem. I understand. Devotional service is a science and is an art. Science has to do with analytical, logical things. Art has to do with feeling. There has to be a balance. I'll give you one practical example before we look at scripture. If you want to cook rice, for example, there's a science behind the kilo of rice or the gram of rice and the liter of water and the temperature that will bring the rice to a perfect cook in a particular time without you having to open and close the pot. That is the science of cooking rice. But the art is all rice are not the same. Brown rice and basmati rice require different amount of water. So you might have the same kilo of brown rice and basmati rice, but you cannot put the same amount of water. If you put the amount of water you put in brown rice and basmati rice, you have khichdi. It won't come out 1-1. Now that's the art. So the science is, okay, there's an amount of water for rice, there's a particular temperature, an amount of salt, amount of kilo. If you follow it, pump, rice is cooked. That's the science. But the art is having to be able to know which rice is which. That's one side. So if you bring that back to Krishna consciousness, no doubt there are certain things we have. I mean, that is the main distinction between Sadhana Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is the science of devotional service. And Sadhana Bhakti, sorry. And Raga Bhakti is like the art, which is superior to the science in this sense. Because at the end of, but we definitely need both. One should lead to the other. One should not be an end in itself. You understand? That sometimes I tell people something interesting there. And Prabhupada used to say the same thing, that being a vegetarian does not mean you will go back home back to Godhead. Cows are vegetarian. So many animals are vegetarian. Does that mean in their next life they will be in Goloka Vrindavan? Keeping away from intoxication does not mean you will go back home back to Godhead. Not gambling does not mean you will go back home back to Godhead. Not having illicit sex. At the end of the day, is why. So when that why is out of the picture, it becomes mechanical. That's the main thing. Why? Because once you remove the why, then it's mechanic. You just do it because you have to do it, because you're told to do it, because everybody's doing it. But when you know why, when you put why into the equation, then it makes sense. So when you understand the difference between brown rice and basmati rice, then you know the difference. That, oh, this one is way thinner than this one. This one requires less water than this. So I have to add water with intelligence. I have to actually change the science behind this. Probably change the amount of water, change the heat system. You know, everything changes. But it's the same principle. It's water, salt, and heat. But the principle changes because it's different. So in the same thing, I'm sorry, in the same vein, we're still doing the same things. I mean, look at the past acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, back to the six Goswamis. Every single thing we do, they did. They chanted, they sang, they read. The same thing. So why are we not like them yet? Excuse me. Sorry, just one second. This is the same thing, you understand? But the difference is there is a why in theirs. Now, we might say, oh, but we know the why. That means we know why we're doing it. But to what degree have we actually understood and assimilated why we're doing it? To that degree, it changes from mechanical to emotional. If there's no emotion, it's just like you might see someone who is very good in playing an instrument. It sounds very, very good, but you don't feel it. You're like, this is very good, but I don't connect to it. And you see someone else plays, probably not as good, but you can connect with it. Because the person puts their heart into it. There's feeling inside. It's not just the instrument. There's emotion in the song. There's emotion in the feeling. So you connect to it, because everyone has emotions. But if it's just drums banging and violins just, it's like, okay, that sounds good, but... So the emotion inside the activity switches it from emotional to real. So that's what we have to develop. That's what we have to try to do. It's there, but unfortunately, it's the truth. Maybe we can discuss later. Sorry.
Moja izkušnja je, dokler iz uma ne prideš v srce, ne deluješ po srcu in po
njemu.
In potem spoznaš, kako je lahko zadevo enostavno.
If you act like from the heart, you realize that how simple things can be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bhagavata 10, Gyanadipena Basata, who knows that verse? 10:11, thank you. Um, So it's 10, 10 and 10, 11, both actually. In 10, 10, Krishna says, Tesan tatata yuktanam, the bhartam pitipuva kam, the dami buddha yogatam yinamam payan today. To those who are constantly serving me with love, so that's the factor. Similar question. To those who are constantly serving me with love, not to those who are constantly serving me with rules and regulation. He didn't say, Tesam satata yuktanam, bhajatam, now, the word there is pretty. Now, he didn't say bhajatam, let me see. Huh? There's the word in Sanskrit that I'm trying to find. He didn't say, he didn't say bhajatam yama niyama puvakam. You know, those who are constantly serving me, avoiding the do's and don'ts. No. It says bhajatam priti puvakam. So who are constantly serving me, so you can be constantly serving Krishna with rules and regulations, without love, then definitely you cannot get the understanding to come to him. Yeah. He said, but those who serve me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. You understand? Now he goes one step further. That now to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, not in their brain. Now, okay, you might say, but Paramatma is situated in the hearts, but that's the difference. You feel here, you think here. He said, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy the shining with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. Now, when you worship Krishna, it says, when you constantly devote yourself to serving him with love, he will give you the understanding by which you can come to him. Now, from that understanding, whatever ignorance that is disturbing you from actually giving yourself with love, that ignorance will be dispelled. So, the understanding which comes from the love you serve him with would dispel whatever residue of ignorance left so that you can actually give yourself completely. So yes.
If I may ask something
more,
I talk from my experience.
And on this finish, who made this study, yeah?
One of the essential things with me is
the spread of the generous property.
That I accept everything that comes to me. And if I accept these things with heart, then all problems are solved. If I don't accept, then I will have a lesson to learn.
Jai. Sorry for stretching 15 minutes more. Okay, in the absence of further questions, or if there are, we can take them later. Dantara Sri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.